Say amen. Take your Bibles, please. The book of Job. Job chapter number 19. It's pronounced Job and not Job. Most folks won't read the book of Job because they think it's pronounced Job, and they won't turn there without a signing bonus. Amen. Some of them would rather I read it for them. Some folks wouldn't better find it at all. Help me, somebody. It's pronounced Job. You can relax. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, church. It's good to be with you this morning. And thank God for what we're celebrating. I enjoyed the songs. When I pastored, I never did do a, didn't really... I forgot about holidays, I think, maybe. I'm proud to be an American. Somebody say amen. I would take a bullet for my country. Not in the torso or head, but maybe like in an arm or a leg. You know what I mean. It waned there for a while, preacher, my pride in America. I'm going to be honest with you, about wrote it off. Help me, somebody. Can't find America in end time prophecy. This is my world right here, the 66 books in this volume of scripture. That's my world. I don't really do extra biblical studies. They're fun sometimes, but I don't pay a lot of attention to them. If it's not in this book, I'm not really a lot concerned with it. Help me, somebody. It's where I live, right there in between the pages of this book. And America is not in end time prophecy. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings. Don't come up to me after the service and show me that eagle in Ezekiel. I've done seen the eagle in Ezekiel, and that's not America. Oh, listen to me now. I'm going to tell you something. Our country is not in end time prophecy, but the church is. Somebody say amen. And thank God that we have the freedoms that we have. I'm sure y'all took a victory lap about the whole Supreme Court decision. Amen. To overturn a horrible decision that was made all those years ago. Thank God. I'm still taking a victory lap about that. If the blood of righteous Abel cried out to God, wonder what America sounds like to the Lord. And after that decision was made, it got a little less bloody in America. Somebody say amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for the religious liberties that we have. It's pitiful that it went to the Supreme Court, but ain't you glad a high school football coach can pray in the middle of the field? Well, I didn't need the Supreme Court to tell us that. Amen. But I'm glad that they did. Somebody say amen. And thank God for our freedoms that we have. Are y'all in Job? I gave you extra time to find it. I want to read from chapter number 19, and from verse number 23 down to verse number 27, book of Job. And this is a very interesting book. I've been preaching in the life of Abraham, and there are some commentators that believe that Job and Abraham lived around the same time. That may be true, that may not be true, it doesn't matter, but Job is chronologically the oldest book in the Bible. Only the first 11 chapters of Genesis predate the book of Job, and thank God for it. Thank God for the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Well, let's look at this together here. You help me preach and I won't be very long. I plan on preaching tonight, preacher, on some reasons to rejoice. Don't that sound good? I mean, we could fuss about things and complain about how, but we got plenty to gripe about. Help me, somebody. That's why my family's really, I told the preacher they're sick, but really, I traded them for a tank of gas in Atlanta getting here. Amen. We got a lot to complain about. Help me, y'all. But thank God tonight. You come back tonight, and I'll preach just briefly. It's about a, I don't know. It might be a 5-minute sermon, depending on how good y'all act. Some reasons to rejoice. But come with me this morning, and let's look in the book of Job. Job chapter number 19 and verse number 23. Oh, that my words were now written! Exclamation point. Did you see that? Oh, that they were printed in a book. Exclamation point. Job's excited, y'all. Job's riled up. Oh, it'd do us good to get riled up about some stuff. Help me, y'all. Oh, exclamation point. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Exclamation point. Oh, Job is riled up. He's excited. He is. He's expressing his need for something here in Job chapter number 19. Look at verse number 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Hallelujah. I want to take a lap just on verse 25. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah, y'all. Praise God. Job is excited about some things. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, y'all. Don't you love your Bible? Come with me now. I want to preach a little bit on some certain things in uncertain times. Would you help me? Pray with me. Pray with me. Pray for me. Our Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the gathering together of the people of God. I pray you would bless our gathering. I pray you'd attend our assembly. I pray you'd take us by the hand and walk us through the pages of your Bible. I pray you'd show us what you want us to see and tell us what you want us to hear. I pray you'd bypass the feeble preacher. I pray you'd say something to the heart of your people. And if there's somebody here lost, I pray that today would be the glad day when they would say yes to the gospel and be born again by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Certain things in uncertain times. Would you say, man, if I were to tell you that Job lived in uncertain times? Have you ever read the book of Job? 42 chapters, and it's really one question after another. I read the commentators that say that the purpose of the book of Job is to explain why the godly suffer. Why do good, help me right here, why do bad things happen to good people? Oh, that's not what the book of Job's about. By the way, that question is never answered in the 42 chapters of the book of Job. It's one question after another. Job has got questions. Job's wife has got questions. Job's friends show up and they've got questions. Everybody seems to have questions in the book of Job. It's a book of questions. God shows up in chapter 38, and we're thinking, wonderful, he's going to answer some of these questions. Not really.
In fact, God shows up in chapter 38 riding on a whirlwind. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about that in South Carolina, but I'm from Alabama. And we're scared of two things. That's divorce and a tornado. Help me, somebody. Either way, somebody's going to lose a trailer. But God, nonetheless, God shows up riding on a whirlwind. And Job's thinking, finally, God, if anybody can answer my questions. Have you ever said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about that? When I stand before God, I'm going to ask God about that? Well, here God shows up in chapter 38, and you think he's going to answer some questions, and he does not answer a single question. In fact, he's got questions. And he questions things that we still have questions about. He mentions Behemoth in one chapter and Leviathan in another chapter, and we still have got questions about that. I think it's dinosaurs and dragons, but I'm afraid to tell people that because they'll think I'm crazy. Help me, somebody. Amen. One question after another. Job could not figure out why God was doing this to him. And you and I know that God was not doing this to him. Although God allowed him to go through the sufferings that he did, it was not God that was doing this, but rather it was the hand of the devil that was doing this. And Job did not know. Job did not know that there was a challenge put forth in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. He did not know. He had no idea that there was a conversation that took place between God and the devil. It's one question after another. Job could not figure out why. He got up one morning, the wealthiest man in the East, the greatest man in the East, and went to bed that night a pauper. He couldn't figure out why God had took away everything he had. He couldn't figure out why he had seven dead sons and 3 dead daughters. He couldn't figure out why he had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He couldn't figure out why God had allowed these calamities that had come on his life. It was one question after another. He did not know. But look at verse number 25. Look at the first 3 words of verse number 25. For I know, hallelujah. Honey, if you ever get into a situation in your life where there are some things that you don't know, don't worry about what you don't know and focus on what you do know. Hallelujah. Find you some certain things in uncertain times. Like Job, I believe that we live in uncertain times. There are the winds of change are blowing. You ain't got to have a John Hagee study Bible to know we're living in the last days. Somebody say amen. And things can't keep going like they're going. The devil's active. God's active. Help me, somebody. It seems like there's a tug of war. It seems to me, I wonder if you'll say amen, that somewhere there has been a conversation between God and Satan about this day right here. Help me, somebody. And there are uncertain times. We don't know which way it's going to go. Could get good. It could get bad. Help me, somebody. Are you with me? And these are uncertain times. But oh, I'm so glad to know that there are certain things even in uncertain times. I'm going to give them to you quickly. There's 3 of them. Don't get excited. I got more points than a Canadian porcupine though. But I am watching my... Oh, it's on calendar. Help me, Jesus. You know you're preaching too long when your watch is on calendar. Well, I put it back on time. Amen. Look at the first thing that you can be certain of even in an uncertain time. Number 1, look at what he said in verse number 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Oh, hallelujah. Guess what, Job? It was written, hallelujah. That I'm thankful that even in uncertain times, we have the record of the Scripture. You know what you can depend on this morning? You can depend on the Word of God. Honey, the winds of change may be blowing, and things are up and down, and you don't know which way to go. But there's one immutable fact that you and I have. If you're holding in your hand a Bible, that does never change. The Word of God is forever settled. Hallelujah. There's the certainty of the record of the Scriptures. Here's what the Bible said. Here's what he said. He said, "Oh, that my words were now written." Well, thank God they were written. Somebody say amen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was given by divine inspiration. It was God that moved 40 human writers. If you believe Paul wrote Hebrews like I do, 40 human writers in putting this canon of Scripture together. Honey, that is a miracle. And it took 1,600 years. 1,600 years in the writing. This miracle book that was, somebody said that Bible's just the words of man. Oh, honey, I'm telling you, 40 human writers, 1,600 years, and not one word contradicts another. Not one word has fallen. Jesus said not one jot or tittle. That's punctuation and pronunciation. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away from the words of the law till all be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Honey, you can put your trust in the Word of God. He said He's exalted His Word above all of His name. And thank God we have the record of the Scriptures. Thank God for the Bible. It was penned. Hallelujah. And it was printed. He said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Help me, somebody. Well, there you are, friend. You do realize that this is all you have. Now, I know you got an indwelling Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. I know that if you're saved by the grace of God, that inside your rib cage dwells God Almighty. But you can't live off of my experiences. I have them. Help me, somebody. I like it when God shows up and it feels good. Help me, somebody. You ain't gonna make me feel good about feeling. You ain't gonna make me feel bad about feeling good, by the way. Don't get me. I ain't been watching TBN. But I'm going to tell you something, it feels good when you feel God. Can I get a witness? Don't knock it till you try it. I mean, praise God. But listen, you can't live off of goosebumps and experiences. What you need, honey, to sustain your life is book, chapter, and verse. I wouldn't buy a car. I wouldn't buy a house. I wouldn't change jobs. I wouldn't make a decision without God giving me some direction in the Word of God. You know what Job's ultimate problem was? Why he had all the questions that he had is because he did not have a Bible. Oh, I pity those who don't have a Bible. Those who do not have confidence in the record of the Scripture. Thank God we've got the book. It's been penned and it's been printed. Oh, look at verse number 24. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. That's the permanence of the Word of God. It was preserved, by the way. Help me, somebody. It's not just inspired, but thank God it's been preserved. And in case you're wondering which one I'm talking about that King James Bible. Help me, somebody. It's been preserved. God, who is smart enough to take 40 human writers over a period of 1,600 years and put His Word on paper and put it in your hand, He's smart enough to preserve it. There's nothing lost in translation. It is a pure book. It's without error. It's without flaw. It's without fault. If you find something wrong with that Bible, honey, there's nothing wrong with that Bible. There's something wrong with you. Praise God. God will judge the world by the book. Thank God for the Word of God. Thy words are pure words, therefore thy servant loveth them. You know what we need, preacher? We need a revival of the Bible. Everybody's looking for an experience. Everybody's looking for some kind of enlightenment. You know what you need, honey? You need a revival of the Bible. You need to get back in God's Word. You need to get off of Facebook and get in His book. Somebody say amen. Quit worrying about what your neighbor's got cooking for supper and worry about what God said. Help me, somebody. Honey, the Bible said study to be quiet. And we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Honey, it's all right here. These are not all of the words of God. Oh, listen, John's gospel said that if it was all written, the world couldn't contain the books. But it is all the Word of God. From Genesis down to Revelation, every single word is pure. God put that book together for you. He put that together. He put that together for your benefit. It's a guidebook to life. If you want to know how to live a Christian life, you'll find it within the pages of this Bible. If you want to know what happens in trouble, if you want to know what to do when you don't know what to do, if you're trying to find direction for your life, if you need to be born again by the grace of God, did you know this Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe with thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This same Bible in Romans 10:13 said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You didn't know anything except it written in this book, John 3:16. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world, and you would have never known that had it not been printed down in the words of this book right here. Thank God for the Bible.
You don't mind if I love on my Bible a minute, do you? I got rebuked by a man. I had a lot of confidence in him. He was a teacher, an older man. Here's what he said to me. He said, you ought not worship that book. You ought to worship the God of the book. Well, that bothered me for about 5 seconds until I remembered John 1:1. Huh? In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah, y'all. Did you know that this is Christ on the printed page? He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Old W.A. Criswell said it's a hymn book. It's not an H-Y-M-N book, but a H-I-M book. He said you can find Christ on every page of your Bible. If you miss him on one page, you'll see him 2 times on the other page. Do you know what this book's all about? It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. I was studying through the book of Acts. Oh, I love the book of Acts. And I was reading after some of the commentators. And some of the commentators said that the first part of the book of Acts is about the Apostle Peter. And the second half of the book of Acts is about the Apostle Paul. Well, I'm sorry to disagree with the commentators, but the second half of the book of Acts is about the Lord Jesus, and the first half of the book of Acts is about the Lord Jesus. Do you know who the book of Ecclesiastes is about? It's about Jesus. Do you know who the Psalms are about? They're about Jesus. Do you know who the writer's talking about in the book of Proverbs? It's Jesus. Do you know who Genesis is about? It's about Jesus. The book of Revelation, it's not the revelation of St. John the Divine. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Christ. This book's all about Jesus. If you want to get to know who Jesus is, I encourage you to get open that Bible and get yourself in the Word of God, and you'll find out who He is. You know why there's so many weak and anemic Christians out there that are sitting ducks for the devil, and they're in 1 week and out the next week, and they're up 1 month and down the next month, and they're blown by every wind of doctrine? Help me, somebody. It's because they've not been in their Bible. Hey, you need to get in the Word of God. Here's what the Bible said in 1 John, that they're strong. Those young men were strong, and the Word of God abideth in them, and they've overcome the wicked one. Honey, if you want to overcome the devil, just get in this book right here, and it'll give you those instructions how to overcome the Bible. You don't mind if I make a big deal about the Bible, do you? Oh, that my words were now written, exclamation point. And they were the certainty of the record of the Scriptures. Y'all, let me move on. I'll move on. Look at number 2. Look at verse 25. Job 19, verse 25. For I know, hallelujah, that's certain, ain't it?
He don't know what's going on in his life. He don't know why he's sick. He don't know why his children's dead. He don't know why the Chaldeans made out three bands and stole his camels. Help me, somebody. He don't know why the Sabaeans came in and stole everything, killed everybody. He don't know why the fire of God came and burned up his flock. He don't know where God's at. Said, I couldn't find him. Said, I looked for him on my right hand and on my left hand. I looked before me and behind me and I can't find him. He don't know. He don't know what's going on in his life. Here's something he does know. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah, honey. Time out to shout. I may take a lap. I may do a backflip, take a lap around the building and bite somebody on the ankle. Who's had their shots? Praise God. I know, even in uncertain times. He said, I know. Thank God we have the record of the scriptures. Number two. He was certain about the return of the Savior. Look at the language of verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. He's saying several things right there. Here's what he knows about. First of all, he knows about his salvation. Look at what he calls him. He says, my Redeemer. Praise God. Hey, it's one thing for you to know that Jesus is a redeemer, that he has the ability to buy you back off the auction block of sin. You're his by right of creation, but because of the fall, there's a new sheriff in town. Somebody say amen. But thank God Jesus is the near kinsman, and he has the ability, hallelujah, to buy you back, to purchase you again. That's what the word redeem means. He said, listen, it's one thing for you to know that Jesus has the ability to redeem. It's one thing for you to know that Jesus is available to redeem, but it's another thing altogether for you to know that Jesus is your Redeemer. Hallelujah. If you can say tonight, I mean, you might not know where you're going to get your next meal. You might not have two nickels to rub together in your pocket. You might have got an eviction notice before you got to church this morning, and you don't know where you're going to spend the night. But if you can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, honey, you've got certain things. In uncertain times, he knew about his salvation. Number two, he knew about his suffering. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Y'all know what that means? There was a time, as far as I know, Job had never been to seminary. Help me, somebody. Job had never graduated from Bible college. As far as I know, Job had never been to VBS. Can I get a witness? But oh, I'm going to tell you what Job knew. Job knew about the suffering of the Lord Jesus. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That says to me that he knows that there was a time when he died. Hallelujah. And not only did he die, but he rose again. Hallelujah. He knew about the suffering of the Savior. Somewhere out yonder in the not so distant future, God would provide himself a lamb. Hey, praise God. Every sacrifice pointed to Calvary. Every offering pointed to Calvary. Every blood sacrifice pointed to that cross. And thank God he knew that one of these days, he didn't know when and he didn't know where, but he knew that Jesus would come and that he would bleed and die on an old cross for our sins. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Look at verse 25. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Hallelujah. He knew about his salvation. He knew about his suffering. And he knew about the second coming. Did you hear what Job said? I don't know that Job ever read Larkin's Dispensational Truth. Huh? He probably didn't have a Scofield Bible. Can I get a witness? Huh? He probably didn't have a John Hagee Study Bible. He probably didn't obtain a copy of Four Blood Moons. Help me, somebody. But I tell you what old Job knew. Honey, he knew things before folks knew things. I want to remind you that Job predates Moses. Job knew what Job knew before Moses climbed up into Sinai and brought down the first ever written words of God on tables of stone. He knew it. Hallelujah. God had revealed unto him the secrets of the second coming. Oh, hallelujah. It was veiled in mystery and shrouded in mystery all through the years until the Apostle Paul come up out of the wilderness of Damascus proclaiming the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Job knew about it. Job knew about it some 4,000 years prior. Some 4,000 years prior to the Apostle Paul's preaching to the church at Thessalonica. He knew that Jesus was coming. You know what he'd been? He knew he'd been there the first time, but he knew he's coming back the second time. And honey, things are going to be different in this second go around. The first time Jesus came, he was meek and lowly. The second time he comes, it'll be with power and great glory. The first time he came, he rode upon the foal of an ass. The second time he comes, it'll be upon a white horse. Spit the eastern sky wide open. The first time he came, they shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. But the second time, their blood's going to flow to the bridle of a horse. The first time he came, they brought him gifts. But Jesus said, I'm coming, and my reward is with me to give to every man as is according to his work shall be. Now y'all settle down. I'm just preaching about the blessed hope. The blessed hope of the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior. You know what you ought to be looking forward to? Not your next stimulus check. Help me somebody. I told my wife, I said, he sends me that money. He got no business sending me that money. I said, that ain't money. That ain't his money. Help me somebody. He sends me that money, I'm going to spend it. Yeah, I'm good to my word, honey. Praise God. I said, he sends me that money. He got no business sending me. I'm going to buy something he don't want me to have. And I did. I bought an AR-15. Yeah, how you like that? Welcome to the Faith Family and Firearms Service. Yeah, I did. I bought a 16-inch barrel AR-15 and 300 round of Federal 5.56. Hallelujah, honey. And 3 magazines. I don't even know how to load the thing. But I'll figure it out time I get up a driveway to get it. Send me another, Byron. I got my eye on a rocket repelled grenade launcher. Amen. He sends me another check, I'll buy a flamethrower. Huh? Hear me now. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm not looking forward to Trump getting back in office and making America great again. Huh? Oh, help me, Jesus, did it just die right there where I said that? Huh? Oh, help me, Jesus. I was over in Carrollton, Georgia, Sunday, and I told the church, I said, I really ain't supposed to be here. I was supposed to be in Augusta in a golf tournament. I challenged President Trump to 18 holes of golf. Huh? I said, I know I'll win. Although I don't play golf and he's a scratch golfer because he can't win nothing in Georgia. Amen. Y'all like that? I made that joke up. That's mine. That's a Bud Stilton original right there. Remember, you heard it here first. Huh? Oh, I want to make America great again. Help me somebody. But you know what I'm looking forward to? This old world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hallelujah, honey. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. I'm looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll right every wrong. One day the government shall be upon his shoulder. He'll fix every problem. He'll straighten every curve. He'll flatten every hill. He'll right every wrong. And find thank God for that good day. He'll split the eastern sky. He'll step out of the, hallelujah, he'll step out of that other world, ride upon a white horse. He'll cross the Kidron Valley. He'll go through the eastern gate of the temple in Jerusalem. He'll sit down on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and they'll learn war no more. And the glory of God will cover this place like the waters come past the sea. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd shout. Talking about a second coming, honey. You know what Job was looking forward to? Not vindication. Huh? He was looking forward to the second coming of Christ. There's some certain things in these uncertain times. We have the record of the scriptures. You can take that to the bank. No, don't take it to the bank. I don't trust the banks. Y'all all right? Y'all want to pray? Amazing grace. All right, it's enough. I'm still preaching. You feel better though, don't you? Take a deep breath. I got one more. I'm going to share it with you. We're certain of the record of the scriptures. Number two, we're certain of the return of the Savior. Say, preacher, how do you know he's coming? He came the first time just like he said he would. And he's coming the second time just like he said he would. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus is coming back. Praise God. Oh, look at this next one. Look at what he says. Verse 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. And not another. Hallelujah. Oh, you know what he's certain about? In uncertain times, he's certain about the resurrection of the saints. Did you hear what Job said? Notice what Job acknowledged. Look at Job's acknowledgement in verse 26. After this, my skin worms destroy this body. You know what Job's acknowledging? I'm going to die. Help me, somebody. If not now, soon. Help me, y'all. They're going to lay my body in this ground and the worms are going to have its way. Help me, somebody. Nobody likes to think like that. Nobody likes to talk like that. But Job had enough sense to know that that is the way of all the earth. And I'm going to tell you something, honey. It don't matter how healthy you are. It don't matter how positive a result you get. Honey, that your day is coming. Here's what Job 14:1 said. Man born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. There's coming a day. There's coming a day for each and every one of us when our eyes shall be shrouded in darkness and our bodies shall lay lifeless, and that day is approaching. I've preached funerals in my short tenure as a man of God. I've seen those little tiny caskets. I've seen medium-sized caskets. Help me, somebody. They got them forever safe. In fact, they've got a casket right now at the funeral home, tailor-made, just your size. Help me, somebody. Nobody likes to think about it. Nobody likes to talk about it, but there's coming a day when we're all going to go. Job said, I'm going to die. If not now, someday. Oh, the sooner you get to the point where you're ready to acknowledge the certainty of death, the sooner you are ready to acknowledge Christ. Oh my. Though after the skin worms destroy this body, watch this now. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah. Huh? That's Job's assurance. You know what Job knew? He knew he was going to die, but he also knew he was going to get back up. He said, in my flesh shall I see God. He's going to stand before God. He's going to stand before God one day. Nobody likes to talk like this. Nobody likes to think like this. But I'm going to tell you something. We all, here's what Paul said. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. You know what's going to happen, friend? Your life is going to end on this world. And you're going to open your eyes and you're going to stand before God Almighty. And I'm going to tell you something, what's going to matter to God. He's not going to ask you about your whether you've got an R or a D in front of your name. Help me, somebody. He's not going to ask you about your credentials. He's not going to want to know what your who your mom and daddy was. Help me, somebody. He's not going to want to know what your standing was in town. He's not going to be interested in your bank account. He's not going to be interested in your portfolio. He's not going to ask you about your accomplishments. Help me, somebody. When your time comes to stand before God, one thing will matter. It's what you do with Jesus. And that brings me to my last thought. I showed you Job's acknowledgement. He said, I'm going to die. Job's assurance, I'm going to rise again. Huh? Oh, I like what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It was a mystery. It was a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. Shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. We shall be changed. Oh, Job was aware of that mystery. He acknowledged his acknowledgement. I'm going to die. His assurance. I'm going to stand before God. Now I want you to see his attitude. Look at verse 27. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. You know what Job's attitude was? I just want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Job was looking forward. Hey, listen to me. I'm not interested in dying. Can I get a witness? Help me, somebody. I'm not interested in dying. I'm not gonna live in fear. I ain't licking doorknobs. Can I get a witness? Amen. By the way, I was washing my hands long before Dr. Fauci come around. Thank you, Dr. Fauci, for telling me to wash my hands, Dr. Fauci. Huh? I was washing my hands long before then. I'm not interested in getting sick, and I'm not interested in dying, but that's exactly what's going to happen to every single one of us. And it's not just the older folks, neither. It's all of us. It's all of us. But here's what Job's attitude was. I'm going to see him. Hallelujah. Whom I shall see for myself. I can't wait to see God. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to see him one day. How's that make you feel? Here's what, I quoted you that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. But here's what verse 18 says. I didn't tell you that a while ago. Verse 18, the very last verse of that rapture chapter. Here's what it says. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm going to ask you a question. Does it bring you comfort to know that one day you're going to stand before God? Does it bring you comfort? Does it bring you comfort to know that your account has been settled with the Lord Jesus? And you got to look forward to seeing him? Or does it bring you conviction? Does it bring you conviction? Let's all stand together. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Preacher, if you want, y'all want to come, somebody come sing an invitation song. I want you to bow your heads with me all over the house while they're getting ready. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to come back tonight and I want to preach about 15 minutes. On some reasons to rejoice. We're going to have a good time. When that great day is coming, probably very soon. Probably very soon. The only hope you have of being accepted by God is for you to accept. The only hope you've been accepted by God at Judgment Day to accept his son Jesus before Judgment Day. Would there be somebody in the house by an uplifted hand? Say, preacher, I've never been saved. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. If you want to talk to me or one of these other preachers, we'll be down here. We're not going to come to you. Just want to pray. pray for.